Blog Talk Radio.
As a remedy that I could use to live my life clean, but every time I walk, I just keep falling down. Living in my righteousness just kept me on the ground. Then I realized that God was right there waiting on me. Saint, son, turn it over to me. Turn it over to me. I want to dwell in your presence so I can feel so strong. I want to seek your face and not your nail scarred hands. I want to live for you until my days are done. With the Lord, why he didn't take the sinful part of my flesh. He told me that the reason why it's there is to let me know that I am imperfect. He wants me to stay on my knees like a father. He wants to mold me and make me. I'll always be the clay. So mold me and make me and do what you say. Jesus, you're perfect, that is what I need. I will set to part my plans and to stay right at your feet. Oh, oh Lord, please fight my battles for me.
Praise the Lord and welcome to Live Deliverance Internet Radio here on blogtalk.com. I am your host, Brother Mike, and tonight we're going to be blessed with a very wonderful teaching coming from Pastor Steve Lee. And the title of that teaching is The King and You. So I encourage each and every one of you out there listening, as always, please get a notepad, get a pencil, as we get ready to embark on another powerful and wonderful teaching by Pastor Steve, and take some good notes. All right, Pastor Steve, you have the mic.
Amen. And again, thank you, Brother Mike. So, beloved, if you would, let's just pray and get into the word for today. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit. Let healing and deliverance break forth in this place and this time because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life now as I share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and our minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives and cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. For you have made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirit and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, I pray. Well, beloved, it's the subject title would be The King and I, The King in Me. And the reason I wanted to think about it, because it's kind of changing, it's kind of modifying, but The King in Me. In my generation, and I'm going to go ahead and date myself, in my generation, there was a movie that came out, and it was entitled The King and I. And the movie was about how we should present and act in the presence of royalty, how we should present ourselves and act in the presence of royalty. There was another remake of the same thought process, One Night with the King. And again, that whole thing was to awaken in us the proper ways to do things. See, we get saved, and then we think that because we're saved, we're the big hoorah. We're all that. No, there should be a way that you approach and treat royalty. And if we would understand that, then it will not only cause us to walk in greater power and authority, but it would give us the humility that God is looking for from his sons. I mean, even when you think about that concept, you go back and look at the book of Esther, and when the king chose her, after he chose her, there was 6 months of preparation in one specific oil. It was in myrrh. And for 6 months that she was being prepared so that there will be a different aroma that she brought in. I mean, I hope you can see this, beloved, that there would be a different aroma that she brought in. That you don't go into the presence of royalty just like you were. He saved you, but then he wants you to go through the preparations so that he can adorn you, okay? We need to get this. There are a lot of people that are in the body of Christ, saved, but they have not yet prepared themselves so that they can be adorned. See, that would be the place where power now rests in you and your decisions allow the power to work through you. So you can't just get saved as an old cuss and then still think like an old cuss and expect the kingdom of God to flow through you. It will visit you, amen. But, beloved, now is the time. These are the days where we need to allow the kingdom of God to flow through us. We have to impact and affect change. If we don't impact the world and affect change, really, what good are ye? I mean, that would be the question. If God just saved you, beloved, and you have not gone through the processes of preparation so that there will be a different aroma, a different presentation for you to be made in the presence of God. I mean, please get this. It was a year that she went through this purification. 1 year was to change her aroma, and 6 months, was to change her aroma. You want to just flip over there just so that you can see this. Esther chapter 2, verse 12, just so that you can see this. All right? This is after she had been chosen. In verse 9, he chose her, and the maiden pleased him, and she obtained kindness of him. And he speedily gave her the things for purification. He gave her what? The things for purification, with such things as belongs to her. Oh, goodness gracious the life. Y'all, I hadn't even seen this. Come on. He gave her the things needed for purification and the things that belonged to her. There are things that salvation gave you. But if you don't go through let's look at the scripture. If you don't go through the things from purification first, then the things that belong to you don't work for you. Okay? Just so that you can get this. Understand, God is interested in conversion of your heart. When he gets conversion of your heart, conversion of your life is automatic. Because the issues of your life come out of your heart. If you do not allow your heart to be purified, the issues that come out are unpurified issues. Or, saying it another way, the things that come out of a heart that's unpurified are a mess. And if you've been saved for any length of time and your life still looks a mess, I would recommend that you go through the things of purification so that you can understand the things that belong to you. Amen. I'm just reading it, y'all. And then some of the things that were there, he said that she was given 7 maidens. Okay? In other words, she was connected to people that were supposed to assist in the life that she's now going to engage in. Okay? God gave you angels. He's given his angels, ministering spirits that are supposed to minister to those who are heirs of salvation. But if I don't go through the purification, then my angels are not going to be on assignment. They're going to be at rest. Why? Because they don't move until the things of the heart are changed. Because if you were given power and you don't go through the purification, beloved, you're going to operate out of your lust, and then you're going to give commands that are illegal. So God doesn't give you that kind of power. Notice the way it is delineated here. He said, first, she was given things for purification. And with that, she was given things that belonged to her and 7 assistants. And, okay, come on. I'm just reading it here. This is Esther chapter 2. This was not even my scripture. This was just as a parenthetical. This came just because when Brother Mike was making sure of the title, he said that, and I understood from what I'm trying to get an understanding to you is we need to learn how to approach and present royalty. There are specific ways we should do that. And in this generation, we just don't understand. I mean, we are the ones that basically go to God, yo, God, what's up? So that's why you've got to recognize who he is so that then you will be able to give respect, honor to whom honor is due. This was the custom in the day. Even though it said, come on, that's just so that you get this. It said that the maiden, she had already obtained kindness. She'd already been given the right to walk in it, to be there, but now she had to go through the preparation. I know, beloved, that sometimes you don't like what God allows you to go through because preparation is necessary. I get that. But if you don't go through that process, you won't work. In order for you to get to the money, you got to go through the test. That's why it's called a testimony. You go from the test to the money. You go from the test to deliverance. If you don't want to go through the test, you won't get to the money. You can't get to the money. You can't get to the place where you can spend and exchange things if you don't get the preparation correct. Don't you remember it says it very clearly that we ask and receive not because we asked amiss that we may consume it upon our lust, James chapter 4. He says that because he's telling you, go back and get the preparation. Pass the test. Then you get to the money. Okay? Then he says that he gave her the things for purification, the things that belonged to her. Okay, again, circle the word with there. So that you can see the process. First were the things for purification, and they came with the things that God has ordained that you should have, that you should walk in. Okay? But if I don't allow the first step, I'm throwing away the second step and any steps after that. Okay? And then there was assistance given to her, seven maidens, and these maidens were out of the king's house. Oh, goodness gracious, Lord, this is just good. I promise you, this is all fresh. The help didn't come, oh, God, the help didn't come from her friends. The help that God gave her, the help that the king sets up, is help that comes out of his house. So I don't know why, beloved, if you're going to go through these steps correctly, if you're going to go through the purification, then you're going to have to stop listening to the people you used to listen to before. Because he just said that he gave you assistance from a place that you were not accustomed to going to. Your assistance comes out of the king's house. Glory to God. You've just been added super to your natural. Hallelujah. He just elevated all of your resources. Please see this picture, beloved. God just elevated all of your resources. Your help now does not come from a lateral positioning. Okay? Your help now comes from a vertical positioning. It is in an elevated place. That's why when he saved you, he changed your position. He made you to sit together in heavenly places. Come on. You can see the type right here in Esther. She received favor, and then there were things given. Purification was the first step in how she would learn to now receive. Oh, my God. I'm hoping that you're getting this, beloved. That God is expecting you to exchange what you've been doing. Your paradigm has to shift. You cannot go back. You cannot continue to put new wine in old wineskins. Okay? Again, you can see these principles Jesus was telling us all the time. He knows that you don't want the new wine. He knows that. He knows you want the old wine, but he's telling you and explaining to you that now you have to learn to think differently because you are no longer the same. You are a new creature. And if you are a new creature, then according to Colossians chapter 3, you're supposed to set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. See, because if you keep thinking about the things laterally, thinking about things along the horizon, you will only move laterally. You will not move up. You will not a sin, you will only go round. The children of Israel went round the mountain and kept going round the mountain for 40 years. If they would have looked up unto the hills from the place their strength that is supposed to come from, they would have gotten elevated thought processes. Okay? I want you to see this so that you can stop. If you're having issues in your life, and if you want those issues to stop, to be resolved, then don't try to get them handled in the flesh or from around yourself. You're no longer supposed to live. This is good. Ooh, glory to God. You're no longer supposed to live according to things surrounding you, circumstances. That's what circumstances means. Things circled around you, standing against you. And you're not supposed to live by those circumstances. He's given you assistance that would help you to be able to know exactly what to do to win. He's given you the things for purification with the things that belong to you and additional help, which is, oh, goodness gracious, which were meet, the old English means they are able to do. They are proper. They are fitting. Okay? Please, 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 please. See, we don't get all of this because we don't understand the language, the king's language. Okay? We're talking about the king, of the position of the king in your heart, the king and I. See, because there is a king in you that needs to be seen. There's a king in you. There is royalty in you, but you don't know how to display it because you haven't gone through the purification. You haven't gone through it. That's just one. Wait a minute. Let me just try to finish this. Goodness gracious. These were the things that came out of the king's house. They were things that he preferred. There were things that he preferred. You know, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of destruction and death. But it seemed right. But we don't go and ask God, what are the things that you prefer? Someone said something to me today, and I basically just can't help it. I'll kind of correct people just because they're there. I've known her for some time. And she did something that was normal to her, and then something happened. And then her response to what happened was, what am I going to do now? And as soon as she said that, I said, no, that shouldn't be your question. Your question should be, what are you going to do now, God? Because you know this. I'm supposed to cast all of my care on you. So why am I trying to pick up the burden and find out what I'm supposed to do? Why don't I find out what you want to do, God? Because the counsel of God, that's what's going to stand. I don't need the counsel of me. I need the counsel of God. So then when an opportunity for things that I don't know what to do presents itself, then I should ask the one that knows. That's why you hear me pray that God would open my eyes, open up the word to me, that I would see great and mighty things out of his word, that he would be able to reveal to me the thing he wants me to do. Because his word tells me, not because I'm saying, okay, Lord, what am I going to do? As if I know. The best thing for me to do is get involved with the plan of God. Okay, Father, what are you going to do now? I submit myself to you. All things work together for my good. But if I'm in rebellion, you can't work for my good. Because I didn't take the time of preparation, then understanding that through the preparation, I would then understand I've been given the things that belong to me. I've been given. Good God Almighty, God, I can't get past this. He said he gave these things to her. It didn't say she worked for them, beloved. See, when I can submit my heart unto the Lord, he's wanting to give things to me. That's why he says, I'm just all over my notes here. He says that if I would delight myself in him, he would give me the desires of my heart. See? I'm going to come back, stick a pin in that, we'll come back to that in just a second. He says that these will be the things that God preferred for her. y'all just look at this. I'm still in Esther. This is just good. Things that were preferred, that he preferred, because that's the way he's trying to get her to the place of preference, to the place of predominance. He wants you to be there. Otherwise, he would not have set you. Come on, please, beloved. He would not have set you in heavenly places, a place of predominance, a place of preference, if he didn't want you to enjoy preference and predominance. Open your heart, open your mind, and begin to see it from his perspective. And then watch this. and this place of preference happens to be the best, unto the best place of the house. Glory to God. Okay, see, again, we just don't understand these things. If you would, if you could see the table that we've been asked to sit at, okay? He made us sit together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Wow. God is at the right hand of the Father. Okay? So then, if we are with him in heavenly places, the seat of honor, the seat of preference, we would then be at the right hand of Jesus. Is that correct? In proximity of preference. Okay? Because I know we are the body of Christ. So there is no separation. I got that. I understand that. But if you were to look at the place of preference, since Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, and he's given all power unto us that he's been given from the Father, then that positionally had to come from the right hand of Jesus. Is that correct? Can you follow that? Because that's the seat of honor. And that's where he wants you to be. Otherwise, he would have just indwelled you where you were and left you where you were. He didn't do that. He raised you and made you sit together in a predominant place, in a place of honor and preference. Okay. It was the best place of the house. And it says things about Esther. Wow. Esther has not showed her people, her kindred, nor Mordecai, okay? Remember when Jesus made for himself no reputation? Esther's doing it right here. She didn't tell everybody her ethnicity. Why? Because it's not, good God Almighty, I'm hoping y'all can see this. It's not important. If I've been made to sit together in the place of prominence, in the place of preference, why am I then going back to bring up my blackness, to bring up my ethnicity? Why would I do that? Because I don't understand. I've been invited into the place of royalty. See, I don't know how to present myself or present royalty. Are we not ambassadors? That means we have the right of presentation. Because when people see the ambassador, they should see the place where the ambassador is from. They should see his ambages and his ambassadorship. They should see that. Why? Because they are an ambassador. Do you see that? Then you have to understand whose you are so that you can represent whose you are. And Esther didn't say all of the stuff that you would say. Now that I'm up here, let me tell you a thing. See, Esther didn't go through that. And there was some reasons for that, specifically to that story. But I'm bringing it out because we have to do the same thing. Beloved, it is his story that we're supposed to take part of. History. It is his story. I am not the most important thing in his story. He is. Amen. If I think I'm the most important thing in his story, I'm going to end up with, okay, good, here it is. Come on, I love these little acronyms and things God gives me. If I think I'm supposed to be the most important thing in his story, I'm going to end up telling my story, and my story is just in his story.
And when you spell that out, you'll see that mystery spells my story. History spells his story. If I allow his story to be the important thing and him to be the most important thing in his story, then I won't try to tell my story and end up in mystery. I'll end up in questions and frustrations. But if I say and repeat his story, present his story, since his story has already been proved, then I can walk in steps of victory because his story gives me the victory. Amen.
Okay. So we see that in verse 10, she didn't show all her stuff so that she can, you know, tell everybody who she was. And then in verse 12, it says, now when every maid's turn was come to go into the king, after she had been, watch it, here it is, 12 months, according to the manner of women. For so were the days of their purification accomplished, to wit, or which means 6 months with the oil of myrrh, and 6 months with sweet odors and other things for the purifying of the women. There has to be a different fragrance, a different air, if you would, when you come before the king. And if you don't know how to function in that new air, you don't get to go there. That's why it says things like this in the Bible. God resists the proud. People who still have the same air about them as they did the day they met the Lord. They are still a stiff-necked and rebellious people. They have not submitted their will to God. So then you have a different air about you. We are ambassadors. We should be looking like, sounding like, talking like, walking like the one who saved us. We should not be walking like we walked before. See? That's why they had songs that had this connotation. I looked at my hands and they looked new. I looked at my feet and they did too. Why? Because I'm going through the process of purification. Therefore, I am not the same. The person that, okay, that's even better, sir. The person that you knew before is a dead man. And if the man was dead, then I've got to change the aroma, because if I don't change the aroma, the dead is going to begin to smell. That's one of the reasons they used myrrh, because myrrh had the ability to, it was such a overcoming, overwhelming aroma that even the stench of death could not push through it. And so God is asking us to change the fragrance. We are supposed to be a sweet-smelling savor unto the nostrils of the Lord. That would tell me that we have no way that we're supposed to be coming in pride. Because as soon as he gets a whiff of that, he's going to resist you. So I just wanted you to see, look at the time frame. That's a year, y'all. That's a year of purification and changing the aroma of ourselves. That's just 1 year. And please, well, I'm sorry, y'all. That's just so that you can come into his presence. That don't even guarantee you're going to stay there. That's just so that you don't become offensive to the king that's there. Do you think that the God of the whole universe doesn't deserve this transformation on the inside? That's what it says. We're supposed to be conformed. We're supposed to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We're supposed to be conformed into the image of Christ Jesus. But sometimes we just walk up to God, yo, God, I need this, not understanding that there is a proper way to go to royalty. And if you did this wrong, you can read the rest of Esther just for historical account. If you went wrong, your life was in jeopardy, baby. Because if the king wasn't happy with you,
You know the phrase, off with their head. Okay? They smell like a dead man to me, so take their head off so they can complete the process. Just so that you begin to think, beloved, how we should operate in the presence of the king. All kings, I'll get back to my study now. That's all introduction. All kings have a kingdom, because that's where the king abides, in the kingdom. And most kings rule by forcibly maintaining their kingdom. God won't force us to do anything. How about this? Put this on and understand this. We must allow him to be king by giving up our rights to our will, our thoughts, our ways, our desires, our hope, and even our lives. And I said, we must allow him to be king by doing this. See, they went through this process, which was a type and shadow, for a year. We have to lay down our cross, we have to pick up our cross daily. We have to be, are you ready? We have to be clothed in humility. Oh, my Jesus. Oh, my Jesus. See, God is interested in it not just being an outward thing. We have to be clothed in it. In other words, people don't see you. They see humility. If you are clothed in humility, they don't see you. They see humility. There you go. I mean, just get that. If you react, and I say this every time I say the word react, I go to this. We are not supposed to live under the reactionary clauses anymore. We are, when the church got started, it was called the Book of Acts, not the Book of Reacts. So that we're not supposed to live, we're supposed to live by, not by, if they did this to us, we'd do that to them. We're supposed to be the ones that initiate. We're not supposed to retaliate. We're supposed to initiate. And if you're still living your life tit for tat, this for that, that is retaliate. And you're not called to retaliate, because he said, if you understand who you are, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So since vengeance don't belong to me, I cannot try to execute vengeance. But if I'm going to function in that retaliation mode, then that tells me I have not been transformed by the renewing of my mind. I still have the wrong thoughts in my mind. I am thinking, how can I preserve self when self is not supposed to be making a reputation? That's the image that I'm supposed to be conformed to. So we've got to look at this and say, I'm going to be clothed in humility. I will be lost in the love of God. I will be lost in it. In other words, whenever you reach for me, you'll have to reach through love to get to me, because I'm going to be clothed in humility. I'm going to be completely surrounded in the place where I'm not making a reputation for myself. Well, then they're going to treat me bad. No, you have to convert that thought before you can even put on these clothes. Right now, those clothes still hanging up in the closet. You haven't put on yet. And amen, I'm not upset or mad about that. I'm just trying to get you to understand that if you have not changed your clothes, if you do not give a different air, then you haven't gone through the preparation. So please, don't try to use the promise the way that you see them written, because you haven't gone through the preparation. All of the things were given to you that you would need. But if you don't go through the preparation and humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God is the first order of business. Okay? So I want you to know there's a king to be seen in you. But you're going to have to learn how to talk the king's language, how to think the king's thoughts. Okay? Notice I said, you're going to have to give up your will. In Psalms 40, and the whole chapter, basically, it's just a good chapter because we see it as it refers to a prophetic picture of Jesus. But you are now the picture of Jesus. Come on, as he is, so are we in the world. So you're no longer a prophetic picture of Jesus. You are the manifest. You are the requested manifest presence of Jesus. That's what it means to be conformed to that image. So if you see this about Jesus prophetically, then you're supposed to walk in it accurately. Okay? You are the body of Christ. We worked over that a minute ago when you were seated together with him in heavenly places. You reminded yourself that you know you are one. Well, remind yourself now when it's time to humble yourself that you are one. Amen. So in this passage of scripture, you'll see the things that we're supposed to do because the king has changed us. Verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. Please, beloved, let's just look at this. He said, he heard me because I was in a bad way, and he brought me out of the pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, and then he did not make me go. He established my goings. Or he said, this is my beloved son. Hear ye him. Walk the way he walked. He established by command what I should do. Forgive if you have aught against any. He established my goings. It didn't say he walked for me. And how do I know that he established my goings? Because there was a new song in my mouth. My words are not, oh, God is good, sir. My words are now chosen. Hallelujah. My words do not come out arbitrarily. My words are new. They're chosen. They were not words that I used to say all the time. I didn't make it pretty. Come on, y'all. See, we try to go, gosh darn it. No, that's trying to make it pretty. I don't even say, God, do anything derogatory. When you say, God damn it, you are asking God, who is holy and good, to damn a thing. That's not the way God functions. God blesses. He does not damn. So if your conversation, thought process was to still try to get God to do something bad because something bad happened, you have not changed and entered into the new song that's supposed to be in your mouth. This was years ago. There was a sister that I was working with. And I hit my hand with a hammer. And when I hit my hand with the hammer, I mean, I gave it a good whack. And I said, bless the Lord, oh my soul. And she turned around and looked at me, and she said, wow, you really must be saved. I said, I hadn't thought about it. It was automatic to me. But if I would have went, gosh darn it, and all of that, see, I haven't received the newness in my mouth yet. There has been no newness in my heart yet. I'm still blaming God and asking him to damn a thing because or for me. See? So I'm going to be converted in my conversation. Then the words out of my mouth, according to this scripture, he has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Not let me go make it as pretty as I possibly can, because after all, you know what they did. No, babe, you got to change it. It has to be new. And he says that when you do this, God will be seen in your life, and he will cause them that see it to fear him and trust in him, because they will see that there is a change, because there's a God in you. There's a King in you. Blessed is the man that makes the Lord his trust. Come on, y'all. Look at this. He said that the blessed man is a man that made the Lord his trust. In other words, he used to do some other things. But now, since conversion has taken place, he has now made the Lord his trust. Oh, wow. And when I hear that, you know, how I used to pray, God, sick them, God, get them, fix them, God, do what they did to me. No, that means I'm still trusting in me and my thinking. If I made the Lord my trust, then I'll just go say, well, Lord, vengeance is yours. Whenever you do it, whatever you do, it's okay with me. If you bless them, Lord, I'll still be okay with that. How do you want to say that? Because I'm supposed to pray for those that despitefully use me, and if I'm praying correctly, God can then bless, can't he? He said, bless and curse not. So I'm right there in Matthew chapter 6. For the one that despitefully used you, bless and curse not. How can I do that? I have made the Lord my trust. And notice what happens when I made the Lord my trust. I no longer have any respect to the proud. I don't look at people that, you know, well, they did it. Just because they were proud and did it, why should I agree with their pride and operate in the same? I've made the Lord my trust. I can no longer respect the proud point of view. Or with the way Psalms 1 says, the blessed man is the man that does not walk in the way of sinners. He does not sit in the seat of the scorner. He does not stand in the way. I've changed my position. Did you see that? I'm no longer found in that neighborhood. I have no respect, no desire for that anymore. I don't even want to be around those who do the things that I see them do and then lie about their motives. Notice he says, I don't have any respect for the proud, nor as of such that turn aside to lies. They excuse what they do. The Lord know my heart. Well, it's evident you don't, darling. Because if you knew what you just did was a proud action and you have made the Lord your trust, you wouldn't continue to do that, would you? He's put a new song in my mouth. And the only thing that comes out of my mouth is praise unto my God, a testimony that causes people to see it, fear, and trust in the Lord. My gosh darn it did not cause them to fear and trust in the Lord. It caused them to have the ability to have respect unto the proud and turn to lies. See, there's a king in you, and the king has a kingdom. But he will not demand that you let him sit on the throne. He's waiting on you to give up the right to your will. As he says in verse, as you go on and read through that, again, yeah, that was prophetically speaking about Jesus, and we are supposed to practically walk out what Jesus did prophetically. And in verse 8, he says, I delight to do your will. Wow. Have we got there where we delight to do the will of God? Or would we rather have respect unto the proud? Would we rather turn again to lies? Interesting. The phrase there, turn again to lies or to turn, means that I'm no longer in my proper direction and flow, am I? I'm off target. If I'm on target, I would be walking the straight and the narrow. But because he used the phrase turn aside, I am no longer on my targeted path, am I? Okay, so that if I'm not on my targeted path, I will not get there at the assigned time. Come on, y'all. Let's just get there. If I'm sidetracked, I'm not going to get there at the same appointed time if I was on the main track. I'm on a sidetrack. So then I am my own worst enemy because my arrival at the place of victory and enjoyment has been thwarted by me. I turned aside. And what did I turn aside because of? Because of lies. So that means I'm no longer intimate with the truth. Because Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples in what you do. You're disciplined in what you do. And because you're disciplined in what you do, you will then be able to enjoy freedom. You will know the truth, become intimate with it, and the truth that you are intimate with will cause deliverance, freedom for you. But if I'm turned aside to lies, I am no longer a disciple disciplined by what the word says. I'm going to be those that are proud. Please understand, see the scripture, beloved. He's asking us to recognize that there is a king that we have to deal with. The first one is God, the second one is you, because you are kings and priests. You are. And you're supposed to be kings and priests unto him, not a king unto yourself. Glory to God. Okay? If I'm clothed in humility, how could I be a king unto myself? I would have to take off my humility and exchange it for pride to be a king unto myself. See, if I understand that there is a king that has a kingdom and he wants his kingdom to expand, the king and I, the king in me. See, he wants his kingdom to expand. And if I am turned aside to lies, I'm no longer motivated by truth, and the Bible teaches me that when I give heed to lies, my father is no longer God, but the devil. Because he's the father of lies. He's king of the children of pride. See? So then we're going to have to make decisions that I am royalty. I am a peculiar person. See? And I was talking to someone this week, and I reminded her that she's above special. Special would be good. God didn't call you special, beloved. He called you particularly special. That would be peculiar. Particularly special. Peculiar. You are a step above special. You're not just favored, beloved. You are highly favored. You are particular. You are peculiar. Specially picked out. In particularly picked out. Higher than special. Peculiar didn't just mean weird. It meant preferentially picked out. Peculiarly special. There's a king in you waiting to be seen. It says, I delight to do your will, O God, O my God. Yes, yea. The reason why I delight to do your will is because your law is written in my heart. And how does that law get written in your heart? The Bible teaches us that our tongue is the pen of a ready writer. So by confessing the word over and over, by hearing the word and then relaying the word to the parts of my body that have to come under subjection, I have to tell my hand, you cannot swing. There will be no eye for eye here. You cannot move, hand. If you're going to move, you will lift up that hand in praise and adoration. You will not lift up that hand in attack. It won't happen here. You will put that in subjection. I delight to do your will because your word is written in my heart. David said, thy word have I hid in my heart, and that causes me not to sin, not to miss the portion that I'm supposed to have. because if I turn aside to lies, I'm going to miss the portion. If I have respect unto the proud, I'm going to miss my portion. The devil, okay, we'll do it this way just so that y'all can see it. The devil only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He does not bring a blessing. He does not have a blessing. If I listen to his lies, I am being robbed. All conversations that I have trying to justify my position to one that's lying to me is causing me to lose my blessing. Thy word is hid in my heart so that I will not miss my blessing. I will not sin against me. So I've got to give up my will. I've got to give up my thoughts. Isaiah chapter 55. And again, read the whole chapter of Psalms 40. Read the whole chapter Isaiah chapter 55. See, because these are the things that you have to put into your thinking so that you can change it. Okay? Starting in verse 6 through 11. And it says that he's asking you. He's asking you to turn aside back to the place where you can enjoy the victory. Watch this. He says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. If my thoughts have been, if I've been trained by a lying spirit, then my thoughts will not be righteous. My thoughts will be wicked. It says, let him forsake his thoughts. Have new thoughts. Didn't he just say he'll put a new song in your mouth? And that song will be a song of praise? That's what he just told us. So then he wants you to be able to hear the newness of his voice. Oh, my God. He no longer wants you to rehearse the old situation, circumstances, and events. He's trying to put a new song in your heart. The lying enemy brings back that which has already happened. Jeremiah 29:11 says that God knows what thoughts he thinks towards you. They are thoughts of peace and not of evil. They are thoughts that will give you an expected end. They will bring you hope and a future. So if you're thinking on the thoughts of a lying spirit, they're taking your future away. They are taking your hope away. I just want you to see that. This is the way that the enemy operates. He reminds you of all of the things that were in your past, the failures, the inaptitude, ways that you did things. All of the ineptness that you displayed. He reminds you of that. Beloved, let me just help you out. As soon as you say to the Lord, I ask you to forgive me, confess it to him. That thing's done. It's over. God's not waiting on you now to line up everything. He has access to your heart now. Because he says, if you confess your sin, he then takes the next step. He is faithful. Come on, y'all. I need for you to see it. If you confess, God then becomes faithful over what you confess. And his faithfulness is displayed by cleansing you from the sin and from all unrighteousness. See? This is what the king does. See, God does not rule in his kingdom by fear and oppression. He rules through truth and mercy. So then, if we're going to participate in the kingdom that God has brought us to, we're going to have to understand the thoughts that he thinks towards us. They are thoughts of peace and not of evil. Thoughts that would give us hope and a future. I'll give you this. I have two acronyms that I have for you. This first one is not mine. It is borrowed. But my God, it was good when I heard it Sunday. The acronym, you can write this down. The acronym for hope would be having, H, having, O, only, P, positive, E, expectation. Having only positive expectations. Beloved, let me just help you out. That is not talking about positive thinking. Because Paul said things like these things like this. He said, I am fully persuaded. I am completely convinced. That is a positive expectation. He didn't say having only good expectations. He said having only positive expectations. I am positive that this has to happen because hope said it would. I only have positive expectations. Did you see the difference there? Good would just be, you know, I'm going to ignore the bad. No. I have positive. See, because I know that good overcomes evil. Amen. Please slow down so you can hear that. Good, how do you overcome the evil? You overcome evil with good. I didn't put good over here and never see it again. Bad over here and never see it again. I took the good, and the good overcame the evil. The good that says forgive if you have all, that overcame the hurt and the experience that of my memory recall. See, the good overcame that. See, that makes it easy now to walk in victory because I have only positive expectation. I am fully persuaded that what I have committed to him, he's able to perform. I'm fully persuaded on that. I have only positive expectations. I am positive. I just want you to get that. He didn't say good expectations. He said positive. I have been given a more sure word of prophecy. And I will do good to take heed to that word. That is having only a positive expectation. Because God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he not spoken it? Shall he not make it good? Has he not said it? Shall he not bring it to pass? That's a positive expectation. That's not a good expectation. See? Hope is the evidence of things that faith brings. See? So then faith is a tangible substance. Faith is tangible. Okay? It's not ethereal. If it's ethereal, then you haven't got anything to hope in. Faith is tangible. Okay? It is evidenced. Okay? Faith is the evidence of having only positive expectations. So that's what we're going to have to understand and walk in, because we are children of the Most High, children of the King. And the King has a kingdom, and that kingdom is in me. And if I would operate by the principles of the kingdom, going through the purification, understanding that I have been given things through this system of purification that belong to my salvation. Assistance, spiritual, angelic assistance The Bible says in Psalms 103 that the angels are waiting. They hearken unto the voice of the Lord. They excel in strength. And I've been given spiritual assistance to bring to pass in my life what the King has already favored me to walk in. I go through the purification. Okay? And as I go through the purification with these things in mind, all of the things that I have that belong to me are mine to walk in after purification takes place, after there is a change in my aroma in front of God, that I begin to understand that these things that I speak of now are things that are out of the King's house, things that he preferred for me in the best place of the house. This is why you are peculiar, beloved, because you are specifically special. Uniquely special, completely loved. But if you still think the thoughts of a pauper and not the thoughts of a king, you cannot walk in the victory that was given to you. Go back and receive the purification, so that the things that were given to you when favor was released can then be walked out into your life each and every day. But the choice is yours. Which will you choose, your way or God's way? And God's waiting on you today. Father, we just thank you and we bless you for your word. You said that your word is able to build us up and give us an inheritance among them that are sanctified. Thank you, Father, that we choose to walk in the humility of sonship so that we can then display your glory throughout the earth. Thank you for strengthening us by your word, for cleansing us by that same word, by causing the regeneration of the Holy Ghost to take place in our minds, so we would think thoughts that are of peace, thoughts that give us an expected end, that we would have only positive expectations and operate in perfect victory. We give you praise, honor, and glory for it, committing it to you as done. In the matchless name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is Lord and Savior, and the redeemed of the Lord said together, amen. Amen. Glory to God.
Amen. All right, folks, we're going to open up the lines. I do apologize. The commentary, I'm going to have to keep it kind of short because I have to actually go and take care of a situation with my mother-in-law. So we're going to open up the lines real quick for commentary. And then after that, I have to get off air. All right, hold on 1 second.
Amen.
Area code 713.
Amen.
Well, yes, how you doing?
I'm always blessed, sir. Working on obedience. Amen.
Yes, brother. I'm new to this, so I really don't know what I'm doing. I heard you, and I've been listening to you on the internet, and I really was interested in getting deliverance. So, if there's another time I need to call you to get deliverance
you
or another number.
Yeah, you can call to the number. Apostle Overton has scheduled times this already. I am one that will first encourage and exhort and teach from that perspective. The ministry of deliverance, I'll participate in that all day long. But specifically, Apostle Overton has times that he set up for that. So you can call back or email him at the Blog Talk Radio address. Or over, is it Navy Overton? What is it?
I got it.
Brother Mike, what is it? Yeah.
All right, brother. If you would like to actually get some deliverance or talk to Brother Emmett, We can do that. We can set up a time for you. Let's see. You got a pen and paper or something to write it down?
Yes, sir. I like that one very much.
Okay. All right. The email address is OVER.
I don't spell real well, so you have to O.
Okay. Yep. O V. Uh huh. T O N.
Uh huh.
N A V Y.
N A V E Y.
N A V Y.
N A V Y.
Yep, like the Navy, Army, Navy. Yeah. N A V Y. And the number one after that.
Okay.
At gmail.com.
Gmail.com. Okay, gmail.com. Thank you.
All right, and if you would like to call in tomorrow night, we'll be here at the same number, area code 646.
Yes, sir.
378.
At the same time?
Yes, sir. We're here every night except usually on Fridays we're not, but some Fridays we are, but we're here Monday through Thursday to every week, though.
I'll surely try to get back tomorrow night. I appreciate it.
All right, just email. No problem, sir. No problem. Just email Brother Emmett. Let him know. What's your name?
David Young. Man, I was listening to y'all. Y'all
David.
Awesome, man. Yes, sir. Awesome word.
Oh,
great.
I'll praise
it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, sir.
I've been listening to all praise to God. All praise to God. Yeah, I believe that.
Amen.
I believe that.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
All right, Mr. Young. We'll be looking forward to hearing from you. Okay?
Thank you, my brother.
Amen.
Amen. Be blessed.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's good. That's good. Father, thank you for that. Amen.
Amen.
All right.
All right. Area code 347. 347.
Amen. Area code 347. You have the mic. Amen. Again, we just thank you for listening.
Okay.
And we give you an opportunity to ask questions or give comments. Amen.
All right. 347 is not there. Okay, Pastor Steve, is there any anything else that you would like to say or close out on before we get ready to wrap up?
I guess we'll try to do part two, and I can get back into my text. The thing that I love about the Word of God is it is alive, and even though there was a direction that I would like to go in, and sometimes it would be exact, we can do it that way, but because there is a living aspect to it. I ended up, I looked like a half hour just in the book of Esther, which was not even part of my thought process till we got into it. But that fresh word, that fresh rhema that God gives, beloved, let's pay attention to that. Because if we would hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, then everything that we need comes through that word. And the word visits, but we have to let the word enter. It's the entrance of the word that gives life, not just the presence of the word. So we have the responsibility to let the word in so that we then can enjoy everything God has for us. So, beloved, we'll be looking forward to sharing with you on next Monday. Amen. Brother Mike.
Amen. All right, folks. Well, that does conclude our broadcast for tonight. I would like to thank each and every one of you out there listening and tuning in to us here on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com. As stated, you can reach us here at area code 646-378-1857. And we are here Monday through Thursday every night. We have brand new teachings coming each and every night. If you would like to reach us via email, that email address is OvertonNavy1@gmail.com. Once again, OvertonNavy1@gmail.com. And with that being said, shalom, everyone. Have a good night. God bless. And if it is the Lord's will, we will see you again here tomorrow night on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com. Have a good night, everyone.
Amen. Shalom.
Shalom, brother.